Lest you think I disappeared, I purposely want to hear the music from Danger Zone. That is my theme song, one of my theme songs. It's one of the reasons why I believe the original Top Gun soundtrack may be the best of all time. Now, I wouldn't say this is a Danger Zone, only that that song jazzes me up and gets me really excited, fires me up. When I was working at my previous network, I think I've told this story before, I was particularly exhausted one night that I was working. I think I had worked a double shift the day before, and so I was really worn out. And the producer I was working with knew that that song got me real fired up. So he's playing it at mock decibel levels. I mean, it was like super loud. And I'm singing at the top of my lungs. My mic is not on. Come to find out, producers in the control rooms could turn on my mic without me turning on my mic and capture me singing at the top of my lungs. Now, I was belting it out with no regard for the correct notes or carrying a tune, which I can do. You'll just have to take my word for it. Actually, I covered a Billy Joel song on our YouTube channel, so you can go find it for yourself. Anyway, he's recording me. I'm essentially screeching and just like belting it out because I need to wake myself up. And he recorded it and then had the nerve to play it back on my show when I was not suspecting it. It was a low blow. We don't speak any longer. Well, that's not why we don't speak. But anyway, we don't speak any longer.
I would never do that.
No, you would be fired.
I honestly, I really would never do that.
Thank you, Jay. Because Jay knows I could do the same thing to him. So he would not want me to do that. So that was a moment that once they had it in the system, it was never going away. And I actually, once I left there, I remember a couple of years later, I got a text message or an email from someone who, like another producer who was there when I was there. And he said, "You're not going to believe what happened. One of the board ops pulled the music for Danger Zone, thought that it was the actual Kenny Loggins song, and instead it was you singing it." So even after I had gone, someone accidentally played it. Like, that's how long it stayed in the system.
Oh,
no. Oh, that's what you get for taping someone unawares. I feel like that's illegal, actually.
Yeah, it should be. That's
sketchy. It should be illegal, even if you work for the network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, good to connect with you. The number of tweets that I've gotten about my laugh in the last 24 hours it's just priceless. So thank you for those of you who are validating me and your attempts to encourage me that you do love my laugh. Some of you even say that's why you listen. Well, here's the thing. It's the only laugh I've got. I know it's obnoxiously loud. If it makes you feel any better, the new man in my life has an even more obnoxious loud laugh. And so now I think every time I see him laugh, I think, oh, is that what it sounds like? If only I had Kawhi Leonard's laugh. Anyway, I'm not joking about that either. There's a new man in my life who puts me to shame with his obnoxious laugh. I've already warned my family, just be ready when he laughs. Like, it's loud and it's, yeah. It's lovable, but it's loud, and it's even more remarkable than mine.
A lovable loud laugh.
It's a lovable loud laugh. So now I know what people think of me when I laugh, because it catches you off guard sometimes. Anyway, it's part of his charm. So I have this laugh and I can't do anything about it. I could smile, but you can't hear that on the radio. Well, you can hear it a little bit, but that's not good radio. In order for you to know what I'm feeling and that I'm happy and that I think something is funny, I can't just smile like a Cheshire Cat. I need to actually laugh at it. Some guy wrote me on Twitter and said, "Don't stop laughing. It's the reason I listen." And I did reply to him on Twitter, "I won't ever stop laughing. I'm more likely to stop drinking coffee." Now, if you know me, that means there's no chance, as in a snowball's chance in hell, that I will ever stop laughing. Okay, so that's not happening. But thank you for those of you who are rushing to my aid or rushing to my defense after there was just one woman. She writes me every couple weeks to tell me that my laugh is awful.
Must be fun at parties.
Not only does she write me to tell me my laugh is awful, but she tells me she doesn't know what I'm laughing at. She can't figure it out. And also that she changes the channel now, except she must change it back, because if she didn't change it back, she wouldn't know that I'm still laughing. So Yeah, it's a catch 22, that thing. You hate a particular radio host, but you have to keep listening so that you can fuel the obsession, fuel the fire, fuel the anger, fuel the hatred. So thank you, ma'am. Thank you for listening, even though you don't understand why I'm laughing. Sometimes I don't understand why I'm laughing, to be perfectly honest. See, it just happens. I can't do anything else about it, and I don't want to. It's just who I am. I like who I am. I like who I am now a hell of a lot better than I did 20 years ago, better than I did 10 years ago. I have friends who are wistful about their 20s and 30s, and I think, no freaking way would I go back and do it all over again. There was too much heartache, too many tears, too much pain. It was a lot. I already went through the poop. I'm not doing it again. But also, I like who I am now more than I liked who I was then. So I'm glad. As I get ready to celebrate another birthday, I'm perfectly happy with where I am and how old I am and who I am. And that includes my laugh. But thank you. So Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. You guys are fun. Our Facebook numbers are off. They're just off the charts, too. Sometimes, even we don't post, you all find reasons to communicate with us, which is great. All right. So we want to launch into some of the QB news from the NFL league meetings. By the way, they only have a couple more weeks and then they go into other league meetings. They just never stop. They meet round the clock. It's like your worst nightmare as an employee. You have to keep showing up for offsite meetings. But the good news is there's never a shortage of drama when the NFL and its peeps get together.
Murray back to throw. And it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Back from under center. Steps back. Throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it. Touchdown, L.A.
Burrow back to throw. Looking. Firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's got it.
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught, touchdown, Kansas City. And off to Eckler again, no, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown, Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap, Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five, into the end zone, touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Yeah, yeah, come on, light my fire. QB News, we've given you a bit of a heads up that the number one topics were Lamar Jackson as well as Aaron Rodgers. Lamar, purposely, there's no chance this was an accident, purposely drops a series of tweets indicating that about a month ago he asked for a trade from the Ravens. This was before they hit him with the franchise tag, so that's your progression. He asked for a trade. They obviously have not acquiesced to that request. They slap him with the franchise tag. They're still in a stalemate. He drops these tweets at the exact same time that John Harbaugh is sitting down in Phoenix to meet members of the media.
I haven't seen the tweet. It's an ongoing process. I'm following it very closely, just like everybody else is here, and looking forward to a resolution. I'm excited. Thinking about Lamar all the time, thinking about him as our quarterback. We're building our offense around that idea, and I'm just looking forward to getting back to football, and I'm confident that's going to happen.
Harbaugh never wavers. He never wavers. You've never heard him utter a bad word about Lamar Jackson, not even when Lamar didn't travel with the team to their playoff game in Cincinnati, which drove me berserk. It's not like your injury was preventing you from being on an airplane. Get your butt on the plane and go support your teammates. Forget about your beef with the franchise. Your teammates. You're their leader. Even then, Harbaugh has not said a bad word about Lamar, and he will say it again in Phoenix. He doesn't want anyone else as his starting quarterback.
You want it done already, but it's just not always possible. I mean, this is the real world. This is big time pro sports at the highest level, and contracts are important and they matter to both sides. The thing that I love about the situation, I believe, is that in the end, you got good people, you know, working together. I mean, we've been with Lamar, you know, I've been with Lamar as a coach and players and coaches and all of us in the organization have been together for, what, 5 years now, you know? We've been through some crazy things, some amazing moments, some tough moments, challenges, ups and downs together. You know, we've hugged in the locker room after wins. We've hugged in the locker room after losses. You know, those are things that last forever. Those relationships never change. So this is part of it. You know, this is it's part of the story that's being written, and everybody's writing the story. But I just appreciate that it's been handled with class. Lamar's handled it with class. Lamar's under contract, and that's the guy I'm. Of course, I'm. That's the guy I want to see be our quarterback. You know, that's my guy.
Now, Harbaugh doesn't have to do the contract negotiations, so he can safely remove himself from that. But there's also zero chance he didn't know that Lamar had requested a trade. So whether or not he saw the tweets before he got posted up there at the table for all of the media, he already knew. Everybody in the organization knew that Lamar had requested a trade about a month ago. The timing is fascinating, though. Harbaugh says, Lamar's my guy. I want Lamar to be our quarterback. Though he's not the one who's trying to get the deal done. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Lamar usurped any talk of Aaron Rodgers for a few minutes, but then right back to the Packers and the Jets, and when will this trade be consummated? This is interesting, though, too. The general manager of the Packers, Brian Gutekunst, this is the nemesis for Aaron Rodgers going back a few years. He has a different timeline than Aaron. Remember what Aaron told us. He came out of the darkness retreat. He checked his phone. He realized, oh, the Packers are ready to move on. They didn't tell me directly. Well, that's not what Brian said on Monday in Arizona.
So I think obviously it was a disappointing season, right? And you come out of the season, you have a lot of conversations, not only with Aaron, but with the rest of the team, coaches and everybody. And as you go through that process, you kind of get an idea of where you're going to move to, you know, as a team, how you're going to go forward. And I think I was really looking forward to the conversations with Aaron to see how he fit into that. Those never transpired. So, there came a time where we had to make some, you know, decisions. So we went through his representatives to try to kind of talk to him where we were going with our team. And at that point, they informed us they would like to be traded to the Jets.
Also not a blindside with Brian, because the team had to give Aaron Rodgers permission to meet with the Jets. But according to Brian, they tried to reach Aaron Rodgers to stimulate conversation, to move this thing along, and Rodgers was unresponsive. So believe what you want to believe. At this point, it doesn't matter because they're headed for a divorce. I think the Packers, Aaron Rodgers divorce is more likely. It's one of those like two celebrities, right? A celebrity marriage where there's no prenup, something along those lines. And it's a lot of money. It's a lot of pieces, a lot of moving pieces. That's more likely than Lamar and the Ravens breaking up. Also, if you missed my conversation with Rob Motti, who joined us from Arizona, he has the inside scoop on how the Packers are now asking for less in exchange for Aaron Rodgers. So check it out on the podcast, afterhoursamylawrence.com. All right, moving on to the Jets' perspective here about Aaron Rodgers. General Manager Joe Douglas, when? Please just give us a when.
There's no hard deadline.
Yeah.
And, there's not a ton of urgency from our standpoint right now, but still very optimistic. I think each deal is a little bit different in its own right. In certain trade talks, there have been times where we've had compensation agreed to. This one just played out different. I feel like every deal, every transaction kind of has its own life, and this one was just different.
According to Joe Douglas, there's no timeline. Huh. I'm sure Jets fans are thrilled to hear that. Probably Aaron Rodgers super thrilled to hear that too, though he's chilling in Northern California or Peru, something along those lines.
How could you possibly say that?
How about we stay in the AFC East, where Mike McDaniel is really excited about getting Tua on the field again post-concussion protocol. And remember, it took him out for the rest of the season. How can they protect Tua? How can they beware of what their franchise quarterback is going through when he's on the field?
This is something that our training staff and Tua have been attacking every day. So he's in a great spot. I'm really encouraged about the work that he's doing for preventative injuries with his core and his neck training. His jiu-jitsu stuff has been
jiu-jitsu.
Outstanding. So, doing all the things that we can control.
Could you say that, I don't know, five times really fast? Jiu-jitsu, 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 jiu-jitsu. Poor guy. Sometimes he sounds as awkward with his words as I do. It's when
training,
I'm tired.
Jiu-jitsu stuff has been out.
I make up words. At least he didn't do that. He came close, but he didn't do that. All right, also in the AFC East, there have been calls for the Patriots to move on from Mac Jones in the wake of a season in which they missed the playoffs. Bob Kraft, owner of the Patriots, what about your belief in Mac Jones and Bill Belichick?
We made changes that I think put him in a good position to excel. Look, in the end, Bill is in charge of my football team and makes the decisions of who should start and who should play, and he's done a pretty darn good job of it for the last, when you think about it, 24 years.
I just one time want to be able to utter the phrase, my football team. Now, I suppose my fantasy football team right now is the defending champion, and I can be proud of that, but if you're Bob Kraft, you just flexed on him with, Bill is in charge of my football team. Oh, I mean, the mic drop there. There's nothing you can say after that.
That's a pretty cool sentence.
That is a freaking pretty cool sentence. Bill is in charge of my football team. In case you were wondering whose team it is, it's my football team.
What do I look like?
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. A little bit of QB news from Arizona. Derek Carr speaking to Harvester Sports about his recent encounter with Raiders owner Mark Davis.
I talked to Mr. Davis at Waller's wedding. Mm-hmm. You know,
Waller's and, wedding.
It was the first time we talked since.
Where in the world is Waller?
And when we talked, like, he walked up, shook my hand, and it was like the biggest thank you he could have ever given me. You know, like, mm-hmm. he said, man, he's like, you know, over my, you know, years, there's things I wish I did better, and, you know, this. And I said, yeah, me too, of course. You know, that's humans, you know. Mm,
right.
We're always going to have humans. That, you know. And we talked, and but he said, thank you so much for always giving me your best. I said, I can promise you I gave it everything I have. And he said, no, you gave it everything you had, and I thank you for everything you did for the organization. He went on for like 5 minutes, and mm-hmm. And that for me was like, you know, just getting the thank you for the work. You know,
yeah.
The thank you for breaking my back and my ankle and my finger and my neck and my, you know, the concussion, the ribs, the this, the that, the surgeries, that, like, just sometimes a thank you is nice, you know, at the end of it.
Well, that's cool. So Mark Davis was invited to Waller's wedding, but not Josh McDaniels. Oh, what a mess. And of course, Waller is no longer a Raider, so there's that. But that's really neat. Obviously, now Derek Carr can afford to be generous because he is a member of the New Orleans Saints and got his fat deal. But I would say, even if Carr hadn't found a new team already, he's the type of man that doesn't have an axe to grind, at least not publicly. Now, could he turn it into motivation? Yes, but he denied all interview requests after the Raiders gave him a drop kick to the curb. So I appreciate that he has also taken the high road, similar to John Harbaugh. All right, staying in the AFC West, Sean Payton, the new head coach of the Denver Broncos, and he's not buying into all the negative Nellies who are swirling around Russell Wilson.
He's super competitive. He's won at a high level. He's someone that I think moves well. He's someone that I think works extremely hard. It's hard to find guys with all those traits. Now, I watched with every one of you the season that took place a year ago. And I said this a little bit earlier, there's probably a little bit of dirt on a lot of people's hands. And when you win 5 games, it is what it is. And I don't think I need to elaborate anymore.
Better to have dirt on your hands than blood on your hands, I suppose. At least no one's died in Denver. So for now, they ride with Russell Wilson, like it or not. One more from the AFC West crew, Brandon Staley. What about that Justin Herbert contract extension?
I think those talks are ongoing. I think we're at the beginning of all of that. You know, we all know how we feel about him. And I think navigating this process, we have a very good relationship with his team. And I'm confident, you know, that Justin Herbert's going to be our quarterback for a long time and that we'll make sure that we get a great deal done.
They're doing the interview in the club. That's from Chargers Twitter. For whatever reason, I think it's because they want to make sure that if other people try to use the sound, there's no way you can pilfer it and pretend as though it's yours, play it off like it's yours. That's why a lot of outlets put audio underneath it. Anyway, that's Justin Herbert, along with Jalen Hurts and Joe Burrow, who are in line for extensions. And what do we hear from Rob Motti in Arizona? Right now, they're all kind of circling, watching which one gets the contract first, and then the other dominoes should drop. Ooh, it's such a chess game. All right, one more, and this might be my favorite piece of QB news. Haven't we been asking this question of the San Francisco 49ers? Who is the QB one? Who's tops on the depth chart going into 2023?
I think Brock has earned the right with the way he played. Ooh. That he's probably the leader in the clubhouse at that. You know, I'll let Kyle make those kind of decisions, but I know when we talk, I think Brock's probably earned that right to be the guy. If we were to line up, he'd probably take that first snap. And I'm really excited about where Trey is at with his progress from his injury. He's been working really hard, and love the opportunity to be able to bring in Sam Darnold and his skill set. We think it's a really good fit, and we like that room a lot.
I love how John Lynch works in Sam Darnold just so that he doesn't feel left out. And of course, they like what they see in Trey Lance, but Trey hasn't played in a year and he got hurt. So if you're looking for sample size, Brock Purdy gives it to you until the NFC Championship game when he also got knocked out. This was the answer that I was looking for from John Lynch, the general manager of the San Francisco 49ers on NBC Sports. Now, it is always Kyle Shanahan's decisions. I'm not sure if you know that, but their power structure in San Francisco is that Kyle has the final say. It's not the GM, it's the coach in this case. So similar to, say, a Bill Belichick, who's in charge of my football team, according to Robert Kraft. But yeah, it's Kyle Shanahan who makes the final say, or has the final say on personnel, though he and John, he brought John with him to San Francisco. They are a team, and they really do evaluate and make those decisions together. But let's just say push comes to shove, they don't agree. Well, Kyle's the one who makes the final choice, so a different power structure there. I am excited for Brock Purdy. That means that they still expect him to be the starter, even though he has to go through the surgery on his elbow and could be out 6 months, or he did go through the surgery. I can't wait to see Brock Purdy as the man, as opposed to Mr. Irrelevant, who's stepping in because two other quarterbacks got hurt. That's going to be one of the cool stories of the 2023 season, which isn't until September. And it's March. Whatever, it's football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Here on After Hours, we like you as much as you like us.
We got full phone lines.
How you doing? I'm a first-time caller.
Great.
I admire your wisdom and knowledge.
Hi, Amy. You're my late-night girlfriend. I love your show.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great.
For those that listen, just want to know that you are the superwoman of radio sports.
Oh, you're sweet. Thanks.
Good evening, Amy. Great show. Now you're stuck with me for a long time.
Stuck is a great way to put it.
Give me a buzz tomorrow night, too. Thank you.
Oh, well, I appreciate the warning.
Amy, how you doing?
I'm great.
Hey, I love your show so much. I'm a super horn. And you jerk
it out. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Shut up, hush your mouth, can't you hear
you talk too loud? I'm still giggling over the fact that Brian Gutekunst is telling the world that Aaron Rodgers ghosted them. I mean, let's be fair, it wouldn't be the first time. Remember two off seasons ago when he was AWOL. He refused to tell anyone outside of his inner circle. He refused to acknowledge the Packers until he showed up. Remember, he showed up for training camp and did a 30-minute diatribe on how the Packers had wronged him. But to that point, no one had heard from him. So it wouldn't be the first time that Rodgers went radio silent, if in fact the story that Brian is telling is the truth, because Rodgers says something different. Rodgers said it's the Packers who made the decision to move on. And when he was in the darkness, he came out, he emerged, only to find out that the Packers had made a decision without him. after telling him they'd wait. Here's what I say. The Packers purposely waited for him to go in the darkness where they knew they couldn't reach him. And they pretended that they sent all these voicemails to his phone or text messages or whatever. Oh, sorry, there's no signal. I mean, we tried to reach you, Aaron. We tried for 5 days. Where were you? We couldn't wait any longer.
I'm offended.
Whatevs. Nobody cares. I mean, fewer and fewer people care. Wait, let's be honest. So, speaking of the Packers, the assumption, you know what happens when you assume, the assumption is that they will move on to Jordan Love, who now enters the final year, the fourth year of his rookie deal. They need to know whether or not he's got the goods before they offer, or before they pick up his fifth year option, right? Before they decide if they want to hitch their wagon to his star. So I think if you listen to this exchange between a reporter and Andy Reid, it's fairly evident that the reporter is coming from a Packers position, right? So either writing a story about the Packers and Jordan Love, or is a beat reporter with the Packers who's going to Andy Reid just to kind of get some insight about Jordan Love. And so we boosted it as much as possible. Just listen really carefully. It's the reporter first and then Andy Reid.
What did you think of Jordan?
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a fully customized suit right from home. With dozens of high thread count fabrics, patterns, and colors to choose from, Indochino lets you fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose fabric and customizations without leaving the house. Or book a showroom appointment and let Indochino's dedicated style guides help you and your wedding party look flawless for the big day. Their experts have been dressing grooms and groomsmen since 2007. And with suits starting at just $4.99 and fitted shirts at $89, Indochino is bespoke without the premium price tag. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.
In that quarter, one by up in the game that he played against you, what was that, 2 years ago?
Who's that?
Jordan Love.
Trying to remember Jordan Love.
Packers, he started that game when Rodgers missed it because of COVID.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah. No, I thought he, I mean, what I remember, I thought he was good.
At least Andy Reid didn't try to lie. He didn't try to play it off as though he remembered exactly who Jordan Love was. This happens sometimes when you have a text message from a person on your phone and you don't know who it is, and you're trying to play it off, like right back and pretend as though you know exactly who it is. That can get you into trouble. I have a really funny story about that, actually. You guys are going to die laughing, but I'll tell you that after the break, because I played it off and it bit me in the ass. But when it comes to Andy Reid, at least he didn't try that. He didn't try it. It's the best because this reporter, who shall remain nameless, what did you think of Jordan Love? Who? Who is what Andy Reid says, Jordan Love? And then the Packer goes on to say, yeah, you know, the backup quarterback who filled in for Aaron Rodgers when he had COVID. And Andy's like, oh, Jordan, that Jordan. Oh, I think he was fine from what I remember.
No, I thought he, I mean, what I remember, I thought he was good.
Wait, so I swear this catches me off guard because I just assumed that every coach knew every quarterback in the NFL. Especially when it's all that has been talked about with the Packers for 3 years.
He is so locked into the Chiefs and his roster.
Well, and it serves the Chiefs well, does it not? 3 Super Bowls in 5 years and 2 rings. I would say he's doing something right. He's doing a lot right. But that's hysterical. Wait, Jordan, what? Sorry, did you say what? Jordan Lou?
Nice.
Jordan Like? Jordan Lovey?
No, I thought he, I mean, what I remember, I thought he was good.
Liar. You don't remember Jack. Oh, that's so funny. Good for you, Andy Reid. Plus, you caught him off guard. Stop trying to put him on the spot. So I had a mea culpa. I have to do a mea culpa for last night's show. And actually, it was probably toward the end of the show, so it was really Monday morning for most of the nation. And I teased my Saturday experience. It's not a long story, don't worry. But I wanted to tell you what I did on Saturday morning. So I said, I think it was about a half hour left in the show, before the top of the hour, I'll let you know about my fun Saturday. You all are going to be jealous. Well, then I got on another topic and ran out of time, and this happened. So I apologize for teasing and not paying off the tease. That is a, it's a horrible radio host faux pas. And I was so upset about it. Ask producer Jay. I was beating myself up about it when I left. I turned off the mic and went, no! Because I remember always right when I turn off the mic. So here is my attempt to make it up to you. Marcel actually sent me a Twitter. He sent me a tweet. You told us you were going to tell us what happened on Saturday and you didn't. So I felt badly. I did, in fact, screw up. And so that is my fault. And I promised Marcel and others. So Marcel said all that teasing about Saturday with no story. Don't. Sorry. I'm really sorry. So I am sharing my story right now, Marcel. Thanks for calling me out. Here's the story. I have a former neighbor who is 88 years old. She decided, and her family decided, that she would move into an assisted living facility. Now, she's right now not receiving any assistance. In fact, it's more just a senior community. But she abruptly moved last September. We became fast friends during the pandemic because I was always out walking Penny, and she was always out walking because not only was that her favorite activity, but she had no car. So she would walk all over our town, go to the convenience store, go to the library, go to the bakery, whatever. So I would see her in her bright purple coat walking around town, and we became fast friends. So she's British. It took her forever to, very stubborn, took her forever to let me help her. I would offer, what can I do for you? How can I help? Can I help you with your yard work? Can I help you with your groceries? La, la, la. Margaret would turn me down every time I asked for a year. She finally allowed me to pick up a few groceries for her when I would go. She liked when I picked the fresh fruit up for her. Penny just made herself right at home, by the way. So we would go visit Margaret once a week, and Margaret would open the door and Penny would just walk in. Oh, go ahead, dog. Just make yourself at home. She'd just walk in. Anyway, so Margaret is my BFF from my town. And when she left last fall, I was so sad. I missed her. I would visit her at least once a week. She would leave me gifts in my mailbox. Just sweet, sweet woman. And she would always show up my house unannounced and just knock on the door. I'd be in my, I don't know, my pajamas or something, just not even awake, and standing there with my coffee looking like a zombie. And, hi, Amy. She was standing outside my
door. I love that. That's old school.
She never gave me a heads up. She just showed up. I think if you're 88, that's what you do. You just show up. Life is too short to be sending people text messages to let them know.
I let them in. Yeah, that's fair.
So she now lives about 90 minutes away from me. I drove down. She lives down on the Jersey Shore. I drove down the shore, is what they call it in Jersey, to visit Margaret. Now, here's the thing about Margaret. She introduces me to everyone that we encounter. Probably 70 people, 70 residents in this particular facility, and she introduces me to all of them. I walk in. She's like, we have to talk to these people. Come sit down. Oh, my gosh. I hadn't even taken my coat off, and she's already making me have a conversation with a 92-year-old and his wife. So I was the entertainment. She then has reserved a table for us for lunch in the dining room with all of the other residents, and we have to eat with her BFF, who's 99. So I had lunch with an 88-year-old and a 99-year-old. Those two giggled like they were fourth graders, and it was really sweet to be able to sit there with them and just see the joy and how they were able to take care of each other. You know, the two of them are pretty active still. Margaret formed a needle club. Get this. I'm not kidding you. This is an 88-year-old and 99-year-old telling me, we wanted to call it the Hookers Club, but they wouldn't let us. I was like, this is at lunch. I put my hand over my eyes like, oh my gosh.
Who is they?
The 88-year-old, the 99-year-old.
No, who didn't let them?
Oh, I'm sorry. The facility would not let them put up signs that said the Hookers Club.
Weak.
Now, I can understand why there would be some misunderstanding there, right? So yes, they were turned down. They were told no when they tried to name the Needlepoint Club the Hookers Club. I thought, are you kidding me? I'm blushing at that. And these two elderly ladies think it's the funniest thing ever. Again, when you get to be 88 and 99, who cares what people think of you, right? You have to find amusement however you can. So anyway, Trudy and Margaret, they kept me entertained at lunch. And it dawned on me as I'm sitting there, like, oh, gosh, how must I miss my grandmother because this is the type of thing that we would have done. We would have gone to lunch and giggled like a couple of schoolgirls. And so for a few moments there, I had some joy and just thinking about my grandmother and how much she would have been right in the middle of that conversation. And also my grandmother, too, would have laughed at the hooker's joke. It's not funny. It made me blush. Anyway, they're very sweet, and I enjoyed being there. I'll tell you this. There was so much traffic on the way home. It took me almost as long to get home as I spent there with them. But it was worth it because they were really happy. Margaret made me a scarf and knitted it herself in her non-hookers club. And she's already sent me multiple text messages. Oh my gosh, it made me so happy to see you. So it was totally worth it. It was totally worth it. So that was my big Saturday story. I hope you weren't disappointed. Are you disappointed about the Hookers Club?
Very much not so. Very interested in the Hookers Club.
Jay, would you like to start again?
No, I'm not disappointed in the story. How's that?
All right. So Marcel, I hope that the story was worth you waiting an extra 24 hours. The Hookers Club. Are you kidding me? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. They're 99. They're talking about hookers.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a fully customized suit right from home. With dozens of high thread count fabrics, patterns, and colors to choose from, Indochino lets you fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose fabric and customizations without leaving the house. Or book a showroom appointment and let Indochino's dedicated style guides help you and your wedding party look flawless for the big day. Their experts have been dressing grooms and groomsmen since 2007. And with suits starting at just $4.99 and fitted shirts at $89, Indochino is bespoke without the premium price tag. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.
Would you say anything to the fans right now as to where the team sits and what you're trying to put together? What would you say to them right now if they were listening to this?
Long way to go. It's March. We play in September. A long way to go. A lot of work to do.
And what would you say to them to give them a reason to be optimistic for what's ahead for the Patriots?
The last 25 years.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The unmistakable voice of Bill Belichick. And the reporter just went 0-2. Crashed and burned two times in a row. First question he asks is, what would you say to the fans about how this is going and about your offseason so far? It's March. We don't play until September. Duh. Check your calendar.
We don't have time for that.
Right, we don't have time to speculate about a season that doesn't start until September. But then, even better, it sounds like you can't really hear the reporter clearly, but it sounds like he asked a question about what would you say to Patriots fans who are a little nervous? What would you say? I actually could probably look up the quote because I think it's online. But what would you say to those fans who want to know if you're moving in the right direction, right? So, like, how do you share optimism with the fans? And his response is, the last 25 years.
The last 25 years?
Duh. So there are times, I'm sure you've heard this, where your kindergarten teacher or your first grade teacher will say to you, if we have any kindergartners or first graders listening, but there are times you probably heard it, no such thing as a stupid question. Oh, Bill Belichick does not ascribe to that theory, nor do I. They lied to you.
I appreciate the question. I really do.
There are so many stupid questions that get asked on a very regular basis in our business.
I know how interested you are in that subject.
What would you say to the fans to give them optimism? How would you share your... First of all, no one's more optimistic than Bill Belichick, to be fair. How would you share your optimism with fans? The last 25 years.
The last 25 years?
He's all says it like a question, like the last 25 years, you dummy. His inflection at the end is priceless.
There's also like a 5 to 6 second pause in there where he's like, are you really just asking me that?
Can you imagine the look, the eyeballs that are boring a hole in the head of the reporter? He might deign to answer you, but you're going to wait for it. He's going to make you uncomfortable, and then he's going to pose it like a question.
For the Patriots.
The last 25 years.
I feel like, no, I can't exactly hear what he's saying, but does it sound like the reporter clarifies, I'm talking about the Patriots? Like, you hear him say the Patriots. Dummy, you're talking to the Patriots head coach, of course.
What would you say to them to give them a reason to be optimistic for what's ahead for the Patriots?
Duh! He goes, what would you say to the fans to give them optimism about what's ahead? ... For the Patriots.
Talking about the Bengals, of course.
I'm really glad I don't know who that reporter is. Come on, that was not a great exchange. First of all, Bill Belichick can smell your fear, okay? He's like a horse or a dog. He can smell your fear. If you go in to the presence of Bill Belichick and you are afraid, he can sense it. So don't do that. You're a sacrificial lamb then, because then you stutter and you sound like a simpering idiot. But in this case, I'm going to assume this was not a Patriots beat reporter, because the Patriots beat reporters are seasoned and they would know better than to say, like, this guy got uncomfortable because there was a silence and because Belichick was staring at him. So he clarifies, for the Patriots.
What's ahead for the Patriots?
Lose my number. Don't ever get in touch with me again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of lose my number, I got to tell this story quickly, but we were talking about Aaron Rodgers ghosting the Packers and how he's all about his inner circle. And he even told Adam Schefter recently, right? Lose my number. So this is what happens, though. When you give your number to people and then you delete them out of your contacts, you don't have them saved anymore, they can get back to you and they can text you, and then you are clueless about who it is. And this happens to me a lot. I give my number to contacts in the business. I don't necessarily save them in my phone. Well, got a text message about a year ago saying, hey, I'm going to be hiking the Appalachian Trail coming up next year. I was wondering when I got to New Jersey if you would mind meeting me along the trail with some new supplies. Well, I didn't know who it was, and I felt wrong asking, so I pretended. I was just a generally nice person in response. I said, hey, I have no idea what I'm doing a year from now, but I would be happy to meet you if I am available. If I can get there, I'll do my best. Maybe I could even hike with you because I love to hike. And then wrote Amy. Just I didn't know who it was, but I felt like that was a pretty vanilla response. 2 days ago, I get another text message from the same number. Hey, I'm taking off for my Appalachian Trail hike in 7.5 days. Are you still game to meet me? Also, I found this picture of us on my phone. I was going through my contacts and I found this picture of us. Take a wild guess who it was. Just Eddie, just take a wild guess.
Old friend.
Ex-boyfriend. Ex-boyfriend. I had no idea it was him, and I had been nice, right? So now he thinks we're BFFs. The guy ghosted me and then writes back and expects me to meet him on the Appalachian Trail. Yeah, no chance.
We don't have time for that.
It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a custom suit right from home. Fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality, starting at just $499. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.